from KQED.
The Fillmore District is a neighborhood in San Francisco whose boundaries change depending on who you ask and when. These days, it's known as the area defined by Turk Street and Geary Boulevard, nestled in between the Tenderloin, Hayes Valley, and Pacific Heights. The Fillmore might ring a bell because it's home to the famous Fillmore Auditorium, mentioned in another Bay Curious episode for serving apples to its guests. But the Fillmore District is also known for something else. Jazz. Back during the 1940s and 50s, the Fillmore was the spot on the West Coast to see the greats. Billie Holiday, Ella Fitzgerald, Thelonious Monk, and Dizzy Gillespie, who we're hearing now. It even got the nickname the Harlem of the West. So just how did this small neighborhood become a national stage for jazz? And what is it like now? You selected these questions in a public voting round on baycurious.org last year. And today, we're going to bring you some answers. I'm Olivia Allen Price, and this is Bay Curious.
Salt peanuts, salt peanuts.
Support for Bay Curious comes from Sierra Nevada Brewing Company. Committed to brewing things the right way since 1980, because when you're a family-run brewery, there's no other way to do it. Sierra Nevada Brewing Company, still family-owned, operated, and argued over. And be sure to stay tuned through the end of the show so you can play our monthly trivia game for a chance to win some cool prizes.
When we go outside, we often find wonder and inspiration.
Less than a mile in, I rounded this bend and I froze in place.
You just feel like you belong with the universe.
I'm Willow Belden, the host of Out There, a podcast that tells intimate stories about life-changing experiences in the outdoors. Out There is this month's PRX KQED Community Spotlight. Learn more at kqed.org/spotlight.
Alrighty. So we're delving into how a small neighborhood in San Francisco became an epicenter for jazz. Reporter Bianca Taylor brings us the story.
Like so much of San Francisco history, the story of the Fillmore can be traced back to the day the city shook.
After the earthquake, pretty much all of San Francisco relocated to the Fillmore simply because it was the closest place to downtown that survived relatively intact the earthquake and subsequent fire.
Elizabeth Pepin Silva is a filmmaker and co-author of the book Harlem of the West. She grew up in San Francisco. When she was a teenager, she got a job working for music promoter Bill Graham at the Fillmore Auditorium. It's how she first started digging into the history of the neighborhood.
Once downtown was rebuilt, the local Fillmore Neighborhoods Merchants Association were trying to figure out a way to keep people coming back to the neighborhood.
It was decided that the Fillmore would be San Francisco's entertainment center. In 1909, an amusement park called the Fillmore Chutes was built, complete with a wooden roller coaster and Ferris wheel. And 3 years later, the Fillmore Auditorium.
You know, there were beer halls. It was a really fun, exciting place. It was a place to go have fun. But it was mainly for white people.
Yes, San Francisco was segregated. But in the Fillmore, it was a little bit different. The earthquake had damaged a lot of neighborhoods where people of color were allowed to live in the city. But the surviving Fillmore district had inexpensive real estate and a history of accepting immigrants. So through the early 1900s up until the 1940s, you had Filipinos, Mexicans, African Americans, Russians, Japanese Americans, and Jewish people living next door to one another.
And it was really became known as one of the most integrated neighborhoods west of the Mississippi.
On December 7th, 1941, Japan, like its infamous Axis partners, struck first and declared war afterwards.
Then Pearl Harbor was bombed, and the country changed completely.
Japanese Americans are forced into concentration camps and left this huge hole in the Fillmore district.
At the same time, there was a push to recruit African Americans from the Midwest to work the shipyards in San Francisco and Richmond.
And they were given a free train ticket and promise of a job. And they're like, come on out, we need you.
African Americans arriving in San Francisco moved into empty apartments the Japanese Americans had been forced out of. And between 1940 and 1950, the black population of San Francisco grew tenfold. By 1945, some 30,000 African Americans were living in the city. With this surge in population came an explosion in the Fillmore of black-owned businesses, nightclubs, restaurants, and bars like
Circle Star.
I hung out at Bop City.
You know, like Jack's on Southern.
The Blue Mirror.
Booker T. Washington Hotel.
And you could go out on Friday night and not come home till Sunday night because there is so much to do. And so that's how the Fillmore became Harlem of the West. Watch me water.
Watch me water. You know, you play in the city, it just feels so wonderful that you have an audience of that caliber who enjoy your music.
Terry Hilliard, who we're hearing on this track by Cal Jader, is a bass player who started playing in the Fillmore District when he was a student at SF State.
We had great crowds, people really dressed up nice. The places were very elegant, and it was just a lot of joy.
The Fillmore was one of the few places where, as a black man, Terry could play a venue and enter through the front door.
When we played a private party, we'd have to come in through the loading dock. We'd play the show, and then we'd come back down to the kitchen. Didn't feel that in the Fillmore. Fillmore, they were black clubs.
I want a Sunday kind of love.
Jazz singer Mary Stallings, who we're hearing here, was born in the Fillmore District in 1939.
So my family came from the Midwest, and I was the first born in San Francisco.
She started singing gospel in her neighborhood church when she was 8 years old.
Growing up in that area, walking to church in the morning, you cross that Fillmore area, it was just music everywhere. God, music everywhere. It was just an experience and feeling, and I knew that I was living something very special.
What a difference a day made. 24 little hours.
When she was older, Mary worked at jazz clubs where she got to see her idols perform when they came through town, like Dinah Washington.
When I was a kid, I used to imitate Billy Eckstein. I used to imitate Dinah Washington. I used to imitate Billy Holiday, well, later Billy. And it's amazing. I worked with all these people and knew these people personally.
But Mary and Terry both say it wasn't just the music that made the Fillmore special.
You felt like you were cared for, you know. You had a home life, but everybody else was your family too, you know.
The reason it was so different is because of the culture. Had a culture that was a place where talent could be developed, whether it be in music, art, dancing, or whatever. It was there. It was a place where you could express yourself and be accepted by others, and you had an audience. I just don't see that today.
Why don't you see that today? After World War II, President Truman signed the 1949 Housing Act, which authorized the demolition and reconstruction of urban neighborhoods that were considered slums. This policy, redevelopment, specifically targeted neighborhoods that were low income and not white. So in the 1960s, with its old Victorian houses and mostly black population, the Fillmore became the focus of San Francisco's urban renewal. Jazz clubs were shuttered, businesses torn down. Geary Street turned into the massive Geary Boulevard, slicing through the heart of the neighborhood. residents were forced out of their homes, often without much warning or adequate compensation. To city planners, this was urban renewal. But to the residents of the Fillmore, it felt like something else.
And then this is part of our redevelopment also.
What do you mean? You say redevelopment meaning?
You mean the removal of Negroes.
Yes, that's what I thought you meant.
That's James Baldwin. In 1963, he came to San Francisco to interview Black residents for a documentary produced by KQED. In the film, called Take This Hammer, Baldwin points out that even though San Francisco thinks of itself as a progressive city, its policies, including those of redevelopment, made it no different from Birmingham, Alabama.
I imagine it'd be easy if any white person walking through San Francisco to imagine that everything was at peace. Because it certainly looks that way on the, you know, on the surface. But San Francisco is much prettier than New York. It's easier to hide in San Francisco than it is in New York. Because you've got the view, you've got the hills, you've got... You got the San Francisco legend, too, which is that it's a cosmopolitan and forward-looking. Well, it's just another American city.
The redevelopment of the Fillmore was one of the largest projects of urban renewal on the West Coast. It impacted nearly 20,000 people. And by the time new housing and storefronts were finally completed in the 1980s, most of the former Fillmore residents couldn't afford to move back in. According to the U.S. Census, in the 1970s, 10% of San Francisco's population identified as Black. Today, that number is half. Mary Stallings still lives in San Francisco, but says going back to the Fillmore now breaks her heart.
I was trying to explain that in another interview, and I didn't get very far because I cried like a baby, because I missed the community feeling, the feeling of family.
Terry Hilliard lives in Oakland now. He kept playing music in the Bay Area, but says all the musicians he played with back then eventually left and went to New York. They couldn't afford to live here.
The only ones, the good musicians who stayed here were those who had jobs like me. I ended up being a computer programmer, and others worked at other jobs, and they had, and we just played as often as we could together.
Jazz in the Fillmore isn't entirely dead. Before the COVID-19 pandemic, you could catch a live jazz show at the Boom Boom Room on Fillmore and Geary. The Fillmore Jazz Festival draws big performers each summer, although as of now it's postponed. And organizations like Fillmore Jazz Ambassadors are dedicated to reviving jazz in the city. But is it still the Harlem of the West? Elizabeth Pepin Silva says,
oh, absolutely not. No way. No.
Cities change. It's easy to romanticize the past, but listening to Mary talk about her childhood in the Fillmore, she keeps using this word.
It was just so magical as I look back. It was just magic. You know, I use that terminology when things are just, you can't explain it.
I want love that's on the sway. I'd like to find somebody who cares.
Jazz singer Mary Stallings. That story was reported by Bianca Taylor.
I'm on a lonely road that leads to nowhere.
This story was chosen by you, the Bay Curious audience, in our monthly public voting round. Time is running out to cast your ballot in our June voting round, so head to baycurious.org and see what we're considering. Today's episode was produced with help from Katrina Schwartz and Asal Asanapour. Our audio engineer is Rob Spate. Bay Curious is made in San Francisco at member-supported KQED. I'm Olivia Allen Price.
Hi, Bay Curious listeners. Are you ready to play April's trivia game? Every month, we'll read a question here at the end of our episode. You can give us your answers over at our website, kqed.org/baycurious, or just click the link in the episode description. Out of the correct answers, we'll randomly choose one lucky winner to receive an awesome prize package with Bay Curious swag and Sierra Nevada goodies. Okay. Our question for the month is, during the gold rush, the most valuable mine in the entire state was in the Bay Area. But it wasn't a gold mine. What were they mining, and where was the mine? Our trivia quiz is made possible by Sierra Nevada Brewing Company. Good luck!
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.